And so the bad boy has friends who come over, and it just turns into a mess, whether dealing drugs or who knows what. So you got a bad apple in your apartment building. In today's world, you're going to have your good tenants leave faster than you can evict a bad tenant. That ain't good. So now you're going to have more vacancies.
You're listening to 5-Hour Real Estate Week, where you'll learn to consistently buy real estate in only 5 hours a week. So if you're ready to invest in real estate, achieve financial freedom, and own the lifestyle you deserve, even with your job, this is the show for you. Now, here's your host, Mike Butler.
Hello there, Mike Butler here, and welcome to this episode. And our topic for this episode is, what type of investment property do you want to buy and hold? Okay, I'm going to go through a list here, and we're going to talk about each one of them here. So you could buy single family homes, you could buy apartments, you could buy commercial, you could buy land, you could buy mini storage, you could buy mobile home parks, you could buy mini storage, you could buy marinas, cell phone towers, and the list could go on and on and on. But which one would you prefer? Which one would be best for you? Well, let's attack the top two for starters. I hear all the time where investors will argue back and forth about single family homes versus apartments. And both sides have got good arguments, but one side has got a warped set of arguments. For example, I hear folks talk about apartments and they'll say something like this. Well, get yourself like a 24-unit apartment building. That way you got everything at one location. You only got one roof to worry about. You only got one this to worry about and one that to worry about. And if you were to have two vacancies, well, then the other 20 apartments will make sure that you got enough money to make your loan payment. Okay, that's they're not sharing everything that really is true there. So when you get into apartments, especially, let's say, 24 units and above in apartment communities, your overhead on those is going to be, with them paid for, is going to be 48 to 50%. Okay, now compare that to single family, and single family self-managed is going to be about 30%. Interesting, big difference there, isn't it? Now, on single families, well, let's jump back over to apartments, for example. So you got a 24-unit building, and you have a tenant that cooks bacon naked on a Sunday morning, catches the apartment on fire. And I've seen this because, remember, my background's in law enforcement, and when I was in uniform, I rode around in a police car, rolled a beat and all that. And when the fire department responded to a fire, they would generally send two cars to block off the street to keep people from interfering with the fire department doing their job. And so I saw this firsthand. So somebody cooks bacon naked on Sunday morning in an apartment, and the fire department, they're not nice on properties, okay? I've seen them where, let's say you have a common hallway entry, like, and has like, you walk in the hallway door and you got apartment on each side. You go up a couple steps and are landing two more apartments and then three. So you got six apartments on each side of each entry door. Well, they'll kick in that door. They'll send somebody up on the roof, two firemen on a roof with this Godzilla-looking stump cutter saw that just rips through your roof and tears everything apart. Then they got throw up ladders, and they got people running in with fire hoses and all this and that, and they just soak and drench everything in your building. So now you don't have one apartment that is not livable. Now you've got a whole bunch. And then here's the icing on the cake. So while I'm sitting there in my marked police car, here comes the power company truck, the electric truck. We call it LG&E in my town. And they pull up and they put on their waders on their arms and get all their rubber boots on. And they get up in this bucket truck. And assuming you have overhead power lines, you got three power lines going to the building, they take these old tree clipper looking things and they snip all three wires. Now the whole entire building has no electric. And you feel guilty because you're a nice person. Well, where are you going to put these people up? Did you make them all buy renter's insurance so the renter's insurance will pay for their hotel if they're left up? Odds are it's probably going to make the news. Don't run down there and get on the camera. They'll warp that. They'll twist that story around, make it come back on you so fast. So now you've got 24 apartments and nobody's paying rent. That ain't good. So let's go back to the one to where you got two vacancies and 22 units to do that. Well, you're not comparing apples to apples. So if you want to take a 24-unit apartment building and try to compare that to a single-family home, that's two different animals. They're all across the board. So if you got a 24-unit apartment building of two-bedroom units, it's no different than having 24 single-family two-bedroom houses. Now, if you got two houses that are empty, the other 22 will make your payments for you, right? Okay, so I cleaned that one up. Now, think about apartments. I mean, think about this. Don't most apartment buildings have outside lighting of some sort? Who's paying for that? Oh, that's called a house meter. So you got that electric bill. Who pays for the water in most apartment buildings? The owner. Okay, so you got a water bill. Who pays the water bill on a single family home? The tenant. Who pays the outside lighting bill on a single family home? Your tenant. Okay. Who cuts the grass on an apartment building? Either you do it yourself, which I don't want you to do, or you got to pay somebody to do it. That ain't free. On a single family home, who cuts the grass? The tenant. In apartments, you might have individual meters set up for personal electric. So the tenant will pay for their personal electric in your apartment building. On a single family home, the tenant's going to be paying their own electric anyway. Okay, who pays for hot water? So either you have a gigantic electric hot water heater or a gigantic gas water heater, or you have individual water heaters in each apartment, and odds are you're paying the electric or the gas service to heat the water. That's more expenses for you as an apartment owner. Now, who pays that in a single family home? Tenant does. Okay. Who's going to pick up trash around an apartment building? Tenants? No. Either you do it or you got to send somebody over there to do it. Now watch this one. What about trash? Oh, okay. So most apartment buildings that I've seen, you have dumpsters. So we have dumpsters. We do have apartments. Okay, I do have apartments. So we got a dumpster we got to pay for. And then you got the headache of people throwing too much stuff in it and getting charged extra and all this and that. When it comes to a single family home, what is the arrangement for trash collection? Well, if you live in a city district, it's included in your property taxes most of the time. So it's not free, but your property taxes pay for that. But the tenant's got to haul the garbage out and take care of it and stuff. If you live in an urban district, well, you might have to have private dumpster service come by and pick that up, and then always build that into your rent to make sure that they don't stop paying their garbage service and let trash pile up in the driveway, the backyard, the attic, the garage, or the basement. Okay, so single family houses. Now watch, here's one more. So let's say you got your 24 unit apartment building and you've got a couple of vacancies and you get in a hurry and you process a rental application just a little bit too fast, and you overlook a couple of things because you got to get things done fast or something like that. So long story short, you end up putting a bad apple in there. Or you could have a good tenant, and then they hook up with a bad boy. And so the bad boy has friends who come over, and it just turns into a mess, whether dealing drugs or who knows what. So you got a bad apple in your apartment building. In today's world, you're going to have your good tenants leave faster than you can evict a bad tenant. That ain't good. So now you're going to have more vacancies. That's food for thought. What if you slip up and you only do 80% of processing a rental application properly on a single family home? Well, you might put a bad one in there. You might have a good one turn bad with a boyfriend or something like that. But the worst it's going to do is aggravate the neighbors. Now, I'm not saying that's okay. Okay. You're going to get it fixed because we don't want to have bad tenants and we don't want to be known as bad neighbors, but we'll get them out of there. So that's a thought to think about. Now here's another one. Single-family homes, I have found out that if you treat them right, the tenants, and you have good, affordable rent, they will stay forever. They don't want to move. Whereas apartments are designed for people to stay short-term. Now, it is a step in between the rent by the room by the hour on Airbnb versus single-family homes. Okay, but we do have people in some of our apartments, been there 25, 30 years. And, you know, some of them, I would say average stay in an apartment might be, I don't know, 3 to 5 years maybe is what we get. And on single family homes, it's about 8+ years. Okay, so there's another, put it in your pros and cons field. Now, here's one that you cannot do anything to fix. What if you got your 24-unit apartment building there and you've got 6 units vacant and it's driving you nuts? How can you get those 6 units filled so you don't have any more vacancies? Well, the first thing a lot of folks think, well, I could lower the rent. No, you can't. Because if you lower the rent and you got 6 vacancies, you're going to have 18 other tenants that want their rent lowered too. That ain't good. So what do? That's a pickle that they don't share with you a lot of times. So how can you get those filled with good people? Oh, I forgot parking lot maintenance and striping and things. Okay. Now, here's one more. So let's say you got your 24-unit apartment building, and I've seen this happen in my hometown. I've seen it happen in other people's towns. I've had investors. They've done coaching calls with me. And some of them even started crying. So they got their 24-unit building, and then just a block down the street, they do this thing called urban renewal or whatever, where they scrape the dirt. Any buildings that are on there, they scrape it off. They get some highfalutin big developers that come in, and they get all kinds of tax credits for building affordable housing apartments. And when you see what they do with these things, they got granite countertops, they got stainless steel refrigerators and stainless steel range and microwaves that are built in. They got a clubhouse. They have an in-ground pool. They have a fitness center. They have playground and a park and a dog park. All of that stuff. And it's all brand spanking new. And your units rent for $800 and they can get these for $625 and they're bigger, newer apartments. What's going to happen? You think you might even lose some of your good tenants to go down there? Perhaps. But how are you going to compete with that price-wise? That's going to be real tough. So I'm going to say this. If you're going to do apartments, and we talk about that 24-unit apartment building, well, a 24-unit apartment building that are all two-bedroom units, you're so much safer to have 24 single-family homes. Now, if you insist on having apartments, if you're going to do apartments, then do apartments. And go out and buy yourself, say, 24 apartment communities. Okay? And so to try to keep it simple, let's say 24-unit building. What if you had 24 of those buildings around your town or in your county? Well, if two of them are poor or not performing right, well, then they will carry the payments for all of them, hopefully. Okay? And another thing, what about resale? So you buy these apartments because it's a great deal and you get them in good shape and then you decide you want to sell them. Okay, who's going to buy your apartments? Is it going to be one of your tenants? Nope. Is it going to be somebody that wants to live in it? Probably not. It's going to be another investor. And what's an investor looking for? A killer deal. So they're going to try to cut your throat. Whereas with a single family house, you can always be the expert. Can you sell to a tenant buyer? Yeah. Could you sell or finance it? Yeah, if dot your I's, cross your T's for all the legal stuff as far as RESPA and all. So you can always be the expert there. And, you know, you can do rent to own. Can you do that in an apartment? No. So anyway, so single family apartments and a commercial. I'll go pretty quick on this one. Now, commercial property, that's a whole different animal. So we got strip centers. We got malls. You see these big malls all across America, they're all going belly up, filing bankruptcy and stuff. You're seeing strip centers. Yeah, they might have businesses in them. Okay, that doesn't mean they're paying rent. And I had one investor who bought a strip center and had several retail outlets in it. And then somebody like Walgreens or CVS or Rite Aid drugstore approached him about, hey, you got a big parking lot out there on in the front of your parking lot that faces the highway there, the roadway, with road frontage. We'd like to build a drugstore there. So guess what? That corporate drugstore environment's got their own set of attorneys that does nothing but put these deals together. So my buddy investor was all excited about getting this because they were going to pay pretty big and they were going to do what's called, they built it themselves. They were just leasing the dirt. And lo and behold, he had a tenant turnover in his strip center and he put in a little retail store where this fella sold stuff in his little retail store. Well, way buried real deep inside of the commercial lease agreement with this drugstore, it had a paragraph that went something like this, that the landlord cannot rent any retail space in a strip center to anyone who sells the same products that the drugstore sells. And if they do, then the drugstore doesn't have to pay rent until that retailer is out or gets rid of those products. Well, guess what? That happened. He got caught and he didn't even know it was really in there. And so he got spanked by these corporate attorneys. So lesson learned there is don't deal with commercial because they can drag you across the coals and they don't have a heart. But I can always be an expert in dealing with single family homes, dealing with homeowners, dealing with tenants, dealing with tenant buyers, dealing with selling them, okay, dealing with other investors. I can always be an expert. So there's the commercial. Now, land, the thing that's interesting about land is it does not produce income. So if you're going to do land, I would recommend doing options as a buyer. We could do a whole course on that. And then try to get land in the path of progress. Mini storage is another one. Mini storage is huge if you run it right. And it can be a huge cash cow. Mobile home parks are even better. I mean, they sell their trailers. You can buy them and then you can turn around and sell them again. And the lot rent's outrageous. So mobile home parks are pretty awesome. The ones down in Florida are, there's some $1 million mobile home parks down there. And they're good. Now, you might think of mobile home parks and think of Trailer Park Boys, the series, where, you know, it's pretty ugly, a different culture, different environment there. So mobile home parks like that. Marinas. Okay, so marinas are a hot potato too. So there's a lot of different types of properties that you can invest in. And I'm just giving you some of those, okay? But my preference, especially starting out, if you do not want to compete with Donald Trump, I want you to ask yourself how much money in your pocket monthly would make you a happy camper. And if that number happens to be like $10,000, you just want enough money to cover your cost of living expenses, allow you to live the lifestyle that you want, take care of your bills, take the vacations you want. If $10,000, that's the number one answer, by the way, well, 20 single families will probably do that for you. So that's why I focus on that. And when I got started, I just wanted more. So that wraps up this one here. What type of investment property do you want to buy and hold? That'll wrap up this episode. And the next one we'll have is talking about proven efficient systems. See you on the next one.
Glad you joined us for another episode of 5-Hour Real Estate Week. The best thing you can do now is put this information to action. To help you get started, Mike created a free resource for you called How to Buy 50 Houses a Year, Even with Your Job. Download it now by going to mikebutler.com/50houses. And we'll see you on the next episode.